Welcome to the Healing Happens podcast with your host, Avital Miller, designed to bring you insight and inspiration from health and healing experts to overcome seemingly insurmountable challenges. From former program manager at Microsoft to author, international keynote speaker, global dancer, and healing breakthrough facilitator, my goal is to inspire boundless energy, absolute happiness, and true success so you can live the best life possible. Enhance the power to heal yourself through natural healing techniques and through gaining awareness in order to comfortably, energetically, and joyfully live your passions. Hello, welcome. Thank you so much for being here, Trish Devney. And she's a big inspiration behind this book. All the way back when I was on a road trip in the middle of the country, I believe this was my stop in Tucson at a restorative yoga class. She came in and did sound healing, and she shared a little bit about her story, which inspired me to put this book together. She wrote this book called Sound Shifting, which I'm absolutely loving. That's also the name of her business. And she's continued on to be a specialist in sound healing. Thank you, Trish, for being here.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's a real treat.
Thank you. It's a real treat for all of us. I would love for you to repeat your story that you shared before of the health journey that you went on.
It was a very circuitous journey. I had no clue. I had no symptoms per se, except for the fact that I felt stressed. I felt exhausted. I was working as an artistic director of an acting company with young people. So I thought, well, who wouldn't be exhausted doing that kind of work? So I paid no attention. It wasn't until I moved to Tucson, I was married here, and I went to a routine checkup. And they had just named the disease that I had called hepatitis C. At that point, there was no testing for it. And they just referred to it as nonspecific AB. That's all they called it. They had just named what this was. And my physician had said, you know, it's showing up that your liver is compromised and you have hepatitis C. In that phone conversation, I assumed it was something like a flu. I had a bad cold and it would go away. So I thought nothing of it. I was talking with a friend later and I mentioned this to her, and she had a strong reaction. She said, oh my God, this is serious. So I called the doctor back and I said, what do I do? And she said, well, there really isn't anything we can do, but let me refer you to a team of doctors, which I went and they reviewed my situation. And at that time, there was a chemical therapy called interferon that they were starting to explore. So they gave me the option to try it, and I opted not to do it. I thought, I'll just go the all alternative route, and I did. So I changed my diet. I went to acupuncture. I did Qigong. I did any number of things. I went to a psychic surgeon. I had a banquet of healers to work with. All the while, my viral load kept spiking and getting higher and higher. The virus was mutating. And one of the team of doctors, because I was getting tested regularly, one of the team called and left a message on my answering machine stating that they had exhausted all possible treatment options and there was nothing left to do. They suggested I get my affairs in order. I was astounded that they left that on an answering machine message. So I got another doctor, what anyone else would do. And the doctor looked at my chart and said, yes, this is serious. Let's see about putting you on interferon. And it was at that moment, I think, the healing began, because I let go. I just let go.
How was your body feeling up to that point? How was the experience of being sick?
I didn't feel it. That's why it was so, I had so overcompensated so skillfully that I had assumed that my symptoms were just regular stress and I would just pull up my bootstraps and carry on and drink a little more green tea or whatever it is I was doing. So I didn't think, because I had little or no attunement to really what was going on in my body. I had never not been ill, come to find out. Hepatitis C has a way of mutating in the body and dormant for years. And in my case, it was about 30 years. So he put me on this interferon ribavirin combination. And within 2 days, he's taking me off of it. I'm injecting it in my body. He starts to modify and putting my dose, less pill, more this, more less that. All the while, I had gone to the gem show and found a vendor that had these gorgeous Tibetan bowls. And I asked how to play it. He showed me how to play it. And what happened was a spontaneous kind of healing. So here's the bowl that I bought at the gem show.
Wow.
Not knowing anything about it. And I put it in my hand, showed me how to play it. And this is what happened. And I turned to the gentleman, I said, I'll take it. I didn't know what happened, except that time stopped. And it just felt so glorious, so full, so rich with life. So I went home, and this is what I started to do on a regular basis, not thinking that there was any potential for healing. That did not enter the equation. I had accepted that I was dying. And so that was that. So I did that every day. And then at one point, there was a tool I worked with my young students that I thought was an actor tool for really accessing a deeper level of authenticity in their discovery and their work. These are called chakra tones. And I was given them back in the 1970s when the Sufi Healing Order came to our acting company. I was with the Omega Theater Company. And they shared these tones with us. I thought nothing of it. Great. I filed it away. So as I was working with these students, I started pulling out these tones and teaching them how to do it and saw extraordinary transformation in these young people. And so I thought, well, what the heck? I have nothing to lose. Let me just start to do these tones. So I would do those on a haphazard, irregular way, but I would do them. Again, I had that same feeling of feeling really centered. And no matter what was going on around me, I felt fine. I did this regularly. The doctor is modifying my dose and he's watching me carefully because he's getting me tested every week. At the end of 3 months, he calls me into his office and he said, we're guardedly optimistic. We're not too sure what happened, but we can't find any virus in your body. That's interesting. Wonder if it had anything to do with sound. That was just a background thought. So now I'm back and I'm still doing the toning because it feels so darn good. I go to my visits all the time. He's still testing me, but I go in more regular and I'm now visiting every 9 months. And in the second year, the nurse motions me into her office and explains why he's so mystified by my situation. And she said, you don't have a genotype that would have responded to interferon. So there's no medical reason for you to be well. And then I knew it was sound. How? I wasn't certain, but I knew it was the sound. And that really was the defining moment for me and then I started to read as much research as I could get my hands on. And there was one pivotal person whose name is Fabien Mammon. And he was doing research with the impact of sound on the cells. And his initial research took him to instruments, piano, horn, drum, guitar, with no notable change in the cell structure. Then he introduced the human voice. And what he found was that the sound of the voice destabilizes the cancer cell, revitalizes the human cell. And in the destabilization, the cancer disappears. So he tested this on several women with various tumors and found that very thing, that their masses had disintegrated into nothing. with one exception. There was a gal who decided to get the surgery, though she had been part of this study where she was toning. It had everybody toning for a half hour a day for a month. And she interrupted that process, went to the doctor for surgery. They opened her up and found that it was already beginning to disintegrate. So this was the thing that I began to explore and found that not only was the cell revitalized, but it was balancing the entire endocrine system. It was changing the way my brain worked. It was lowering my blood pressure, reducing my stress, which is what I found was the key element in my body being able to heal itself. The body knows how to do this. I just didn't know how to get out of my way, because when I think about doing it, I'm already obstructing it because my thinking is holding the expectation that I'm sick. So I was really blessed with cluelessness in a way, I could call it that, because I didn't know you could become healthy after being diagnosed and told you were had a year to live and to get your affairs in order. I didn't think anything of it. So I have.
How would you recommend that somebody else get the mind out of the way so it doesn't interrupt their healing process?
That is the pivotal nature of sound itself. Mm-hmm. What sound does is make it possible for us to be grounded in the moment while at the same time expanded in our awareness of all that is. Our brain can't comprehend what that is, but when we make a simple sound, like I was demonstrating, just an open tone, the body is in that present moment. There is no way that you can start to manipulate the cells at that point. So sound begins to reawaken the body's native frequency, if you will, and restore the harmony to the whole body system. So the way sound works is when you begin to make a tone, it overrides that previous preference or perception of who we perceive ourselves to be in time and space. Those old stories that we have collected over the years and really was imprinted severely in age between age 2 and 5, those impressions rearrange the way our brain gathers data and resequences the brain. So in working with sound, it overrides that old program and restores the natural resonance or natural frequencies. So it's resequencing the brain and etching new neural networks so that you're able to access that which lives at the core, the crystalline core of your being, which is the way you know how to navigate through life, through the situations. You know, and it's interesting too, because you talked about, use the term healing. Healing in the world I live in isn't about eradicating symptoms. It really is about restoring resonance. Mm. And if we're trying, and that word trying, to wipe out the symptoms, wipe out the disease, then our fixation is holding a dominant frequency of being sick. Mm-hmm. So the sound allows us to release, relax, and let go of what we imagine is happening and just allow our body to do what it's designed to do.
What is the difference between healing and curing?
Well, curing is the intention that you're going to eradicate the symptoms. You're going to wipe everything out. And then that's the expectation. Healing is restoring resonance. Is bringing harmony back to the body, whether the body is getting ready to transition or not. Now, in my case, it did eradicate the symptoms because I would offer that I'm not ready to leave this planet yet. There's work to do. So if it was my time, that would have been my exit strategy, possibly. Mm-hmm. So the body, the key piece is restoring resonance. So that when I do transition, I'm not carrying the boatload of negativity and fear and resistance and caution and smallness and density and stress with me. Who wants to take that?
Take that?
Like, really? That's my option? So that's the goal. So even if I were to transition, I would not be carrying that. I would be bringing forth, exiting with harmony in my body, in my system.
Yeah. In your book, you describe that you do not consider this to be a miracle. Would you explain what that means?
Well, you know, the doctor called me his miracle girl. And I thanked him for sharing, but I said, it's not a miracle. I really think we're onto something here. And he couldn't hear it. He wasn't able to embrace that, which is not important. I have the great fortune of working with young doctors in the Integrative Wellness Institute here in the University of Arizona. And these young people are being exposed to energy medicine and vibrational medicine that really broadens their sense of well-being and the sense of healing, so that they are not just looking at curing, but really looking at the whole body structure, body, mind, spirit. When my doctor looks upon it as something that's an anomaly, I have to argue with him, though not out loud, because it is something that we are all equipped with. This is something body knows how to do. It's just that we don't know how to allow it to happen. And the remedy sits at the tip of our tongue. It sits in our breath and in the sound that we make, because we live in a sea of vibration. And when we are in harmony and flow with all that is, by that I mean by Earth itself, we are in a state of non-resistance. And that state is the healing state.
Beautiful. I like hearing what you're saying, because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but basically what you're saying also is that we have the potential to heal our own selves simply from the sound that comes from our own body. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Where it becomes tricky is that long-term assumption of our smallness, how we perceive ourselves, that we silence ourselves, swallow our voices, and don't allow ourselves to breathe, the sound that we produce from that state is limited. So the overall, what we call format, the overall resonance and spectrum of overtones is not available to us in that normal speaking voice. So when we tone, I teach people how to open up that voice, how to breathe deeper, how to experience breathing into their back, how to feel the sound supported as they make the sound from the depth of their body out to the universe. Most of us will start to make sound and it's like an arm that grows out further and further and further. We feel it's going to get smacked down or swallowed back. So we already have these triggers that say, okay, you've said enough, or you're too loud, you're too big, you're interrupting. All of that is in the subterranean subtext of who we perceive ourselves to be. So opening up that breath, opening up that sound, energizes the breath, oxygenates the body. Whether you're restoring resonance intentionally or not, your day-to-day voice becomes a meditation and a blessing and a harmonic gift to the world. Because I'm not putting out the harmony, the dissonance, let's say. I'm not putting out my caution. I'm not putting forth my smallness. But instead, I'm just opening and opening and opening.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I find, because I do a lot of chanting, and I find that the moments where I am being more expansive in myself, where I am being bigger and being okay being big, where I am being confident, that the sound is fuller and smoother.
Yes.
And it's very weak or choppy or quiet when I am in more of a contracted state.
Exactly. You know, the ancient Vedics talk about sound as the fullness of being, experiencing the fullness of who we are. And when we are thinking small, when we are perceiving ourselves as less than, when we've really shrunk our voice, we're not experiencing the fullness of our being. We may have an idea that we want to be doing something more exciting or creative. There's more to us. How do I get to it? We can't get to it because it doesn't happen up here. It occurs in the full body harmonic, in the full body, the plumera, as they call it in the Vedic tradition. The fullness of being allows you to experience the soul of your sound, the soul of life itself.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I wanted to ask you this question because you were already familiar with certain aspects of yogic or healthy living before this came on. And there's a lot of people out there who still get sick. Something still happens, even though they feel like they've been doing so much to support themselves in a healthy way. Why do you think that is, and what advice could you offer that type of person?
Truth be told, I wasn't always a healthy creature. And I write about it briefly in my book. I'm now in recovery 36 years. But there was a period of my life when I was not a healthy eater, drinker, or lifestyle was very different. And then after I got sober, I wasn't necessarily a good eater either. And I wasn't prone to exercise and all of those wonderful things. Intermittent. It wasn't until I became ill that I began to pay attention to this extraordinary vehicle that I'm in. But it was the irony of letting go, being willing to just not try to fix it. Mm-hmm. That's the key piece. And so you said something that's significant, that people are doing all these things to be well. And I would suggest that that is holding the assumption that they're not. So the work with sound really brings you back to the ground level of knowing that who you are at your core is whole and vibrant and creative and passionate and masterful and exquisite in everything you do. That's the nature of each of us. That's your birthright. And you know exactly how to move through this world in your unique way. Mm-hmm. Trying to be well in that, and I put that in quotes, it may be very different from you. You may sit a lot more than someone who is prone to yoga, and that's fine. So it's really about listening to your personal preference. Mm-hmm. And therein lies the gift that happens with sound, as you begin to have that conversation with your body. So your body will tell you, this feels good. You know, this kind of food feels good. I don't eat bad food anymore because my body won't tolerate it. And when I do, it says, let's help you understand what this does. You know? I love to chew on it now.
I did an experiment recently of something that I haven't had for years. And I thought, well, you know, my body is more healthy now. It's not so reactive to allergies. I don't know, just try a little bit of this. And I felt like it just took over my entire body. I felt awful. And I said, experiment over. I'm done.
I get it.
No need to try.
You know, and it's a journey, isn't it? It's not about the destination. We're not getting to fixed. We are on a journey. And that's the beauty of the ancient ragas as well. You really are taking this journey through the harmonics of being, of who we are. And so you're learning about your body and how to rewire it. That's what I found, that I could begin to reconstruct my body through the sound and through breath, because your sound energizes the breath. So these are the two elements, and that start to clear the head, because that is operating out of some old programs, some old stories. Clearing that, and I don't mean obliterating that because it's impossible. That stuff will always be there, but it recesses back. So it's no longer dominant in your field. Your first response will be the one that says, tell the truth, you know, open your heart, make sound, and don't be afraid. I had an opportunity to open up a conference for Sounds True a couple of years ago. They were doing wake up festivals. And they asked me if I would do a heart-centered song to open up the conference. I had no idea what that was going to be. I walk up, I just breathe, I drop into my heart, and I just open my voice. And what came out was something I couldn't have anticipated. I couldn't have arranged that. It was just the most incredible experience. And at one point, I opened my eyes and I started to gaze out over these thousands of faces. And I just felt we were all part of this fabric of sound and being in this place of complete and utter authenticity. I couldn't have planned that. I wouldn't have planned that. I would have thought a much smaller thought. But I knew that I had to risk everything to meet myself in this way. So I risked it. I did that. And that every day I get an opportunity to reach beyond my perception. But that happens, and the confidence happens through sound and toning, because as I do, and I've written about it in my book, when you make sound, and there are specific tones that I talk about, chakra tones, there's also an affirmation. I call them a seed of transformation, because with sound, you're creating this combined alpha theta brain state, which means it's a highly suggestible place. It's like fertile ground where you can set in a new idea, new thought. So after I make the sound, I will grab one of those seeds of transformation, one of those affirmations, and I'll just say it out loud, and then I'll just feel it move through my entire body down to my toes, take root into Gaia, into the earth itself, because that's the awakening that's occurring. That is my true nature. And I can safely say, you can take this to the bank, that is your true nature as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. For somebody who's listening or reading this right now, what is something that they could do right now to start on that journey of allowing sound to help get their full expanse to be present and recognized?
It's a breath away. Mm-hmm. Just open your mouth a couple fingers wide, because the more we open, we have more resonance and more breath. Most people make a sound like this. I want you to invite you to That simple sound is the sound of the heart chakra itself. That simple sound activates what is called the CD consciousness, which is the consciousness of the higher mind. It's our awakened self. It also physiologically lowers blood pressure, reduces stress, and stimulates the immune function. That any mid-range pitch is a perfect place to start. And if somebody's listening and can't do an open tone or can't comfortably do that right now, just hum. A straight tone or a nonsensical sound, because you don't want to sing a song. You don't want to hum a tune. You want to just roam. Go on the journey. Because that is how harmonics work. So you're awakening. Another great thing to do if you're starting to open up the gateway of sound is to wake up in the morning and glide. Start really low. Do that a few times. That wakes the body up.
Great.
It also stimulates all of the endocrine glands and all of the chakras. Mm-hmm. And if you're wanting to do more refined, which is what I would recommend ultimately, more refined tuning, then work with the chakra tones. I have several CDs on iTunes or my website that teach you the tones and what I used to bring each of my areas from the root chakra up to the crown chakra back into resonance. And so that becomes a more refined, more detailed, more penetrating, and more sustainable experience of completely altering the whole body system.
Beautiful. How would people find those CDs? What are they called? And what's your website?
My website is soundshifting.com. Mm-hmm. And the CDs are also, you can see them on the homepage. One is called the Chakra Tones. That's a teaching CD where I'm teaching a small group how to make the tones. Then the other one is a chakra sound meditation, which is a track-by-track guided meditation with the tones that people can tone along with me or just listen. And that also includes the affirmations. So, and then there's a crystal bowl sound bath at the very end of that particular CD. Then I have CDs designed because I work now with alchemy crystal bowls. And they're the ones produced by Crystal Tones. They're exquisite instruments. And I believe they are the instruments of this crystalline age. And they're on board. They've come of age during this period of huge transition for all of us as we upgrade our vibratory rate. So I have three of those CDs. Two of them are with Sounds True. One is called Crystal Bowl Sound Healing, which was done in a dead cave. And you'll hear a bat in the first track. And then the second one I did with Sounds True is called Spirit of the Ancients. And that was done in an open mouth cave along the Trail of the Ancients in New Mexico. So I'm sitting right in front of an ancient ruin. And it was incredible. I felt I was surrounded by the ancient beings who inhabited that place. So I felt like they were really literally guiding my hands as I was playing these bowls. And we brought 50 bowls into that cave. So that's one of them. And then the last one I did in a chapel, and it's called Harmonic Activations. And I'm primarily focusing on harmonic fifths, fourths and fifths. It's the fifth that is able to expand and reconstruct, weave the light codes or sound codes back into the body that has been severely damaged. And I had actually had hurt, sprained my ankle and was off my foot for, I couldn't walk for 8 weeks. That CD did so much to restore my body as I could track. I could hear it through my auditory system, but I would bring my thought to my body. And where I would travel with that, I could feel the activation, the light, the reconfiguring of the harmonics throughout my body. So you can use all of those CDs to do just that. And so those are all available on my website. They're also, I believe, the two Sounds True CDs will take you, you could get on Sounds True, and you can get them all on iTunes, I believe.
Beautiful. And you are also traveling so that people can catch you live. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm actually planning another visit to the Portland area. I'm so excited. If you go to my website, soundshifting.com, there is an Activate Me button that actually signs you up on my list, my email list, but also gives you a download of a track from my Harmonic Activations CD, and it's the High Heart Activation. So that's a little gift for folks. And that way, when I nail down the dates, I'll go out and send e-blasts out for people. So that would be the best way for people to be in touch with what is happening.
Any final thoughts you would like to share?
As we were talking before we started this interview, if there was a word that I would really recommend for people to concentrate on or to explore in order to achieve a state of healing or resonance, it would be the state of non-resistance. Mm-hmm. Because it's the non-resistance that allows the body to do what it's designed to do. It also restores us to the state of remembering who we truly are at a vibratory level, at a subatomic level. And sound is uniquely designed to restore that balance and to move you into a state of non-resistance, even in traffic. Imagine. and a little activation you can do with your jaw is let go of your jaw. Just let it fall. Mm-hmm. So when you're feeling afraid or tight, let go of your jaw. Let your belly soften. Take in a little air and make the sound of ah.
You know, I just started going to Toastmasters, and one of the biggest things that I'm noticing, because we also give feedback to everyone speaking, one of the biggest things I'm noticing is that they need to relax their jaws and their sound will articulate a lot more.
Yes, yes. And it'll be authentic. Mm-hmm. It will be authentic. Yes. Yeah, there are so many layers to it, especially when you're speaking. If you're not breathing well, your audience can't and train with you. They can't breathe with you. So they're passing out. They're falling asleep. They're agitated. They don't know why they don't want to be there, because they like you. They want to be there. So yeah. The more fun you're having there and relaxed and speaking from your heart, that's heavenly.
Mm, beautiful. Thank you so, so much for doing this interview, Trish. I really, really appreciate it.
It's a joy. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you for listening to the Healing Happens podcast. To take your next step towards boundless energy, absolute happiness, and true success, visit www.healinghappensforyou.com, where you can get your copy of the book Healing Happens, or sign up for interactive online courses to put the power of healing and success in your hands. Fatal pronouncements do not have to be your fate. Healing happens. The content in this podcast is provided for educational and informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or prescribing. Listeners should consult their physician on all health matters, especially symptoms that may require medical attention. Using this podcast's information is entirely at the listener's discretion. Healing Happens, Avital P.G. Miller, contributors and publishers of this podcast, assume no responsibility for errors, inaccuracies, omissions, or inconsistencies. Any slights of people or organizations are unintentional. Healing Happens and Avital P.G. Miller do not endorse every statement, treatment, and diagnostic approach contained in interviews in this podcast.